All right, boys and girls, we're going to get started here in a couple minutes. I'm going to go refill my coffee, and then we can get going as we wait for the numbers to stabilize. It's been an interesting day in terms of war stuff because the bad guys have had meetings, and we've been processing the intel and generally reading tea leaves. Things are looking pretty fucking good, but there is a lot more work to be done. All right, so I'm going to go get some coffee, and then we'll get started in a couple minutes. All right, boys and girls, we're going to go ahead and get started. Oh, this is interesting. Okay. So here's what I want us to do. I expected that we would at some point this week see an attack on 1DQ1 again. The last time that they did an attack on 1DQ1, it was sort of a ad hoc thing. It wasn't really telegraphed in any way. They just sort of up and did it. And it worked about as well as you would expect for something that the bad guys did in an impromptu way, which is we kick their asses, kick them out of 1DQ1, high fives all around. We are in a very interesting position here where there are indications that the enemy is running out of steam, that they are turning on each other, that there is a degree of infighting, particularly within Legacy. And I want people to be on the same page about where we are and what the chessboard looks like before we get into any sort of details. I'm going to back up a little bit. There have been a lot of events this week, and people might not be aware of everything that has gone on. So the single most significant development has been the fact that the initiative, along with various other organizations, which shall remain nameless, but mainly the work this week from Init, out of fucking nowhere, has scythed into the enemy backfield and done a tremendous amount of damage already in catch. Essentially, Init, fully charged up, massive fleets, have been torching jump bridges, snapped the head GP, IUB, catch in general is on fire. This has resulted in a degree of understandable, I wouldn't call it panic, I would actually call it more of a reasonable recognition of the danger of their situation from Brave Newbies. Brave Newbies has been one of the most involved parts of this war from a Legacy perspective, and they had their staging system reinforced, so they sort of loudly headed home to defend their homeland. And what the response to that has been, as we're finding out from the Legacy leadership, has been to continue to try to push Legacy members to settle and colonize in Delve, Quirius, and period basis, because goons are almost dead, the Imperium is almost over, and ProGod Legend has been telling people that we are on the cusp of giving up and going away, which is nonsense, of course. But if you are in Brave and you are seeing your shit get set on fire, their defenses are collapsing, and the response from the Legacy leadership is, guys, goons are almost dead, and you should totally move into Delvin period basis and Quirius, is probably not going to be inspiring confidence amongst the Brave line members, because essentially they are starting to realize what's been true the entire time is that they're a bunch of fucking cannon fodder that Test has been using, and ProGod Legend Villy doesn't give a flying fuck about what happens to Brave. So that's interesting. Now, I don't know how these people are going to react. I don't know if they're going to react by saying, you know what, fuck ProGod Legend and fuck all this nonsense, or if they're going to dutifully fall back in line and go back to being Entosis slaves or whatever. But the counteroffensive is working. It's working really well. We're very happy about that, and we want that to continue. All right, so let me take a look at some of these questions here and check my notes. So one of the challenges of starting to win a defensive war is if people think that, oh my God, this is over, or that it's anywhere close to over, or that we are anywhere near out of the danger zone, that we will snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. This is the longest, hottest, most intense war in a video game since the internet has existed, right? This thing has now, in terms of active campaigning, has outlasted the Great War in terms of number of people involved, in terms of the number of days of active form-ups. The Great War lasted 3 years, but usually we didn't go for more than like 3 months at a go. So the fact that we are still here, that we are still fighting, that we still have all of our shit, well, we don't have all of our shit, but you know what I mean. We're in 1DQ1. We have not been, you know, swept out of the game. Everything is not on fire or whatever. It's pretty fucking awesome. We are headed into a scenario here where the enemy has Cyberpunk. The enemy has, we have Cyberpunk too, but we're more invested because we live here. The enemy has Cyberpunk coming up. The enemy has Legacy starting to be Legacy. I don't know whether they're going to turn on each other or otherwise get disorganized and wander off and do Legacy things. The situation is really quite good. However, the situation is only really quite good for us if we continue to do the work. As the enemy is starting to show signs of faltering, of flagging, the only thing for us to do is do more, is to dig in, is to work harder, is to go on more fleets, is to grit our teeth. I know, I mean, actually, our people are less tired than the bad guys because I've been seeing all the complaints there, and you know, we're getting PvP constantly right next door, so you know, we're doing pretty good. But this is, if there's going to be a couple weeks where you burn the candle at both ends, you really dig deep, this is going to be that period. Especially when the enemy is not hitting 1DQ1 or doing something like this, we have a lot of opportunities in the coming weeks because the enemy, we have deployment ops, we've got Legacy is doing like a move op tomorrow to do a jump clone deployment back to catch to defend it, and it's just a jump clone deployment, and they're not going to take caps, but maybe they will, and maybe they'll leave units or this. It's very hard to predict because it's very disorganized. But they are making moves. That is going to present a lot of opportunities for us. And the more people that we have turn up for fleets, the more opportunities that we will have to exploit the disarray of the foe. So yeah, we are definitely getting into the knife twisting phase, and I'm delighted that we finally got to that point. There is a lot of credit to go around for this. Initiative is out there and is making some really big baller plays. We have had a number of counteroffensives in this war. I mean, we started this war from day one with counteroffensives. I think this is probably like our 10th or 11th counteroffensive in one form or another. And this is also sort of part of how defensive wars work. Like I've said before, defensive wars, you lose them until you win. Counteroffensives fail until the enemy is so exhausted that suddenly you're burning down all their shit and they're in disarray. And so essentially, the work that we have collectively put into this thing, not only staying alive, staying together, but killing the bad guys, is really bearing fruit now, not just for this particular counteroffensive, but all of the work that we have put into to outlast and burn out the bad guys. And it is really fucking gratifying to see that. There is not just light at the end of the tunnel, but the light at the end of the tunnel is growing brighter. But this is the part where if we just go, oh, hey, they're turning on each other and whatever, and we don't take it seriously, don't log on more, we will be in deep shit. So let's not do that. All right. So there are a bunch of details to go into on that. And I don't want to point and laugh at the bad guys too much because it smells too much like counting our chickens before the eggs have hatched. But let's talk about this. So one of the first things I want to talk about is the importance of headhunting. We have had great success with the bounty system. Goons love the bounty system. If somebody could relink the headhunting thread in Elysium, I would appreciate it. And one of the things I want people to realize is that as the enemy is watching their forces falter, they are much more likely to take desperate swings. It's possible that Legacy will be Legacy and continue on the path that they are right now. It is also possible that they will turn around and try to make some sort of like wild attack on 1DQ1 or on Helm's Deep in E3. So effective immediately, we are going to be doubling all of the bounties for 1DQ1 specifically. So if you catch an enemy Sino, you'll get a double bounty in 1DQ1. If you blow up enemy hackers in 1DQ1, you'll get a double bounty for that. I really want people to, you know, dig deep here in the next couple weeks. Like, this is the time when it looks like there isn't necessarily an imminent attack, when it looks like the enemy is faltering. This is the time to just fucking grit your teeth and work twice as hard as before, because it's going to matter so much more, because this is the pivot point on the war where the enemy is hesitating, the enemy is faltering, the enemy is, I mean, I think that they genuinely fucked up by this just happened. I think that they really fucked up by trying to push the legacy guys into colonizing where we live when we're still active, because the people that are dumb enough in legacy to actually come try to live in Quirius, to come try to live in Delve, are finding out the hard way that we're still here, we're still alive, and we're killing them. Then they're screaming home to mommy and going, oh my god, you know, this is terrible. And they're realizing that they're getting used as a fucking meat shield. So it is kind of people of Ryzy, but at this point it's people of Brave. All right. Now, I do expect, and we are starting to see indications of this, I do expect some sort of big swing attempt. I think we need to prepare for that. I think that there is going to be some day here soon. Who knows? Maybe it'll be over the Christmas holiday. But if there isn't some sort of big internal drama that results in things flying apart from the bad guys, when they realize that they're losing momentum and realize that their entire project is at risk, that does increase the chances of some sort of big, desperate swing at us increasing. So we need to have everyone on deck. We need to have everyone aware the next time that they try to come into 1DQ1. It's just fucking get every fucking body. And I think that if we see them off a second time, that's GG. And I think if we just keep on keeping on, it'll be GG. But this war is ours to lose. If we don't turn up, if we fuck it up, we will lose. But right now, things are looking pretty good, as long as you guys keep kicking ass and keep turning up like you have been. All right, so here's what we got. One of the things that's been happening recently is we have been adjusting our jump bridges a lot. And I would I would encourage you to update your GTS, make sure that you are checking that regularly. We're not always going to be announcing when we change jump bridges, because that would be dumb. So make sure that you are updating GTS. Another thing, we are sort of revamping our command structure when it comes to defending small citadels. In the way that this sort of massive battle space has progressed, we want to basically use the Goonfleet Expeditionary Force, the Jeff system, to allow skirmish commanders to take out smaller groups of people to defend this citadel or that citadel. So let me see what I've got here. If you are interested in that as a skirmish commander, you can join the SIG for Jeff. And Applepear has a link there for that. If you are a skirmish commander already and are at the sort of level where you would like to be able to ping for yourself to take 30 guys to defend citadels, that is for you. We have a shout out here for a pretty substantial donation here. Two cousins from ASCII donated about 50 billion ISK, Riley and Heinrich. They're going to get a shout out there. That is on the edge of, let's see, I have notes here. In case you want to do a shout out for these guys, if it takes us a while to name stuff, this is very, Gazanir, this is very unclear instructions. You can't give this to me when I'm this high. Or actually, I'm not this high. I'm exhausted from yesterday. My bad. I was like, do a shout out for these guys. I'm delighted that they donated that, and I would encourage more people to do that. Finance has a whole system. Gazanir, are you here to explain this? Are we,
Yeah, sorry. we're going to rename something. I don't know what yet. So we renamed the faction forts for the larger donors today after I worked out some IT issues. So we're going to figure out something else on the 1DQ grid. We have a couple people that are in that situation that weren't it. We had pegged it at 100 billion for one of those forts, but I think that we're just going to rename some other stuff there to credit those people also. But we have memorials up for Adenthar and Lux Libertas, as well as for Iced, who supplied a ton of minerals and stuff that have already been turned into capital components. So yay. Or battleships, I forget. But yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Sweet. All right. Let me look at Elysium and maybe take some questions. This has been an interesting one because I expected today that we would all be together and in ops defending 1DQ1 because the last 48 hours were the critical time for them to be hitting 1DQ1, and tomorrow they're doing a legacy move up or some shit. I don't even fucking know. All right. Questions about naming, about auctioning the naming of the Imperial Palace. That would actually be hilarious. We'll do whatever finance says is necessary.
We've talked about setting a 5 trillion ISK like sort of stadium naming rights for the Imperial Palace, but we weren't sure whether we wanted to pull the trigger on that.
All right. Here are questions. Pass B doing move up. So here's the basic situation that they're in. They have a real problem, which is Initiative was the first Imperium organization to really bear the brunt of this war at the early days of this war. Fountain, as we all know, was hit first by the bad guys. And I think that they forgot about it. I think that the enemy was so desperate to convince themselves that they had glassed Fountain and killed the Initiative that they forgot about Dre, basically. If you want to make a macro level analogy about how organizations functionally have like hit points, we're a bunch of big fatties here in the Imperium, and we have a lot of fucking hit points as an org. And essentially what happened here is that Init has charged back up fully, and is just scything through the backfield of Test, to the point that, not of Test, of Brave, but Brave is the sort of open nerve that we're stabbing here. So, it's really quite ideal all the way around. So we don't quite know what Legacy is going to do about this, because now that their backfield is getting hit hard, Test has to prove to their coalition that they are proper coalition leaders. And we know that they're not, because they're fucking Test. But essentially, Brave and these other guys are going to find out the hard way that Test is not actually going to defend their shit. When Esoteria started coming under trouble from our earlier counteroffensives, Test was like, oh, well, you know, we're going to move into Delve and Esoteria, you might lose stuff. And now that Brave shit is getting hit really hard, they are still pushing the line of just move into Delve and everything will be fine. So I think that Legacy is discovering that the largest member of their coalition is not actually going to be helping them with their shit, and sort of continuing forward in a desperate attack on us. So we'll see where it goes. Do we have any word of an actual retreat of Legacy? No, the enemy is not going to talk about how they're retreating. They're always going to be attacking in the other direction. And in this case, they are attacking in the direction of Catch, which is where we are attacking, where the Init counteroffensive has really sort of gotten stuck in. And, you know, they're not going to say, oh, well, we're doing this. They're going to say that they're either taking a break, or that the real fighting is in Catch, or that they're going to be back or whatever. You're not going to see like a formal acknowledgement of the enemy retreating. Now, if we set all their shit on fire and if we have a surge in participation, then it'll be a different matter. Did Vili quit playing Eve? Haven't seen him since Shadowlands dropped. I don't know. I would assume no. Can we get an opinion on CCB changing the military and index upkeep requirements at this point mid-war? Well, this war has been lasting longer than, certainly longer than our enemies expected. They thought that we would be over and done a long time ago. It's not realistic to expect CCP to not change the video game for half a year or more. We have been, if you count the time that we deployed Jeff, functionally speaking, Gunswarm has been at war since May, mid-May maybe we deployed Jeff, maybe a little bit earlier than that. And then we figured out that the bad guys were planning this whole thing, and we went into war prep mode long before July 5th. So we have been at this for a very, very long time. And so I'm not shocked or rioting in Jita about the fact that CCB is changing the game while we're doing this thing. How would a win here compared to the win in the Great War? I think it would be, that's a good question. I think that this is something that people really need to think about, is that this is at this point now bigger than the Great War by a large amount in terms of the amount of man hours invested on all sides, about the amount of time that has been invested in order to do this. We think of things in terms of Legacy and in terms of PanFam, and like Hordes doing all the work on the PanFam side, and You know, Test is a fucking joke on the legacy side. We haven't like stepped back in a while and said, remember, we are fighting the rest of fucking EVE Online at once. Basically, everybody who is anybody in NullSec that is not on our side is trying to kill us. And we are still here, more than 6.5 months later of constant war. The enemy is faltering. This is a tremendous accomplishment. It is an absolutely tremendous accomplishment. But it will only be a tremendous accomplishment if we keep it up. You know, if we fail, if we falter, it'll all be forgotten. It'll be all for naught. But if we keep doing what we're doing, and if we pull this fucking thing off, this is going to be the greatest victory against the worst possible odds in the history of online gaming. And that is something that will be written about in history books. And I want you guys to keep that in mind. Like, look at what happened in Empires of EVE Volume 2. So as we go into these next couple of weeks, think about how you want to be remembered as we get to this, the most vital phase of this war. And I, for one, would like to have Empires of EVE Volume 3 begin with, oh, hey, there's this casino war thing. We lost our shit. And then, oh, hey, the enemy didn't have their casinos anymore. And they threw everything they had at us, and we still won. That's how I want the next volume of that book to end, is with the good guys winning again. So let's make that happen. All right. I'm going to take another couple of questions here, and then I'm going to get going. I have not played Cyberpunk yet. I am going to be waiting until after the war is over, at which point I'm going to reward myself by buying a long overdue new rig rather than trying to make Cyberpunk work right now. My hope is also that by waiting until the war is over, by that point the bugs will be fixed and then it'll be a smoother experience. Questions about the length of this war? That's a very good question, Missy, and I hope it is a bingo square. This war lasts for one op longer, 1 hour longer, and 1 day longer than the enemy's will. That is how it has always been. All we must do when there's ever a moment where you're wondering how long it's going to take, 1 hour longer, 1 hour, one op longer, 1 day longer than what the bad guys are willing to put in. Bingo. Congratulations, guys. I haven't actually checked bingo out yet today, so I didn't know how many squares I'd hit. All right, good. Let me see. Hang on a moment here, guys. Got some tactical questions about doctrines, which I'm not qualified to answer. If we win, are we going to fuck Test first? That is something that is kind of in progress. When I say it's kind of in progress, I mean that if the counteroffensive continues the way that it has been, and you know, these things could sputter out, but Init is on a vengeance rampage and we're doing what we can to help. But I don't want to overshadow what they have accomplished here. Like this Init deployment is fucking huge, right? Like it's a big deal. They're fully charged up. They're torching the, like, Legacy losing head is just a tremendous issue for their logistics as a whole. They know it. Test has failed to defend their people functionally. The members of Legacy know it. I think that the path to fucking Test over, like, you know, the counteroffensive works, if you have a counteroffensive work, you're burning down the enemy's shit, right? So if that continues to work, if that continues to gain momentum, if there is success there, that naturally flows into, that's the knife twist, right? That's the weak point in the enemy's system. You twist the knife there, and then the whole thing starts to break apart. And then that naturally leads into burning down Test stuff. It's kind of funny, at the earlier part of the war a few months ago, the bad guys were screaming like all puppies do, about how I was an evil spin master for saying that Test is next, but then we're gonna the path to Test is next is through Brave, and it kind of looks like the path to Test is in fact through Brave's backfield. So I think it's working out pretty well so far. We'll see how things go, though. We need to make sure that everybody is here and doing things. I mean, I think that the way that we handle the Brave thing is not to be like, ha ha ha, Brave, you suck, but more like pointing out that they have essentially been like, it, again, the messaging is very important on this, guys. And, you know, there's a few different ways that you could spin this or whatever. Obviously, the enemy is still here and is still attacking. Even if they're not burning down 1DQ1, they could attack 1DQ1. They can continue to be attempting to blow up our Keepstars, right? And that's bad. Like, we can still take a lot of damage while winning the war, and we want to minimize that. So we want to make it easy for the enemy to leave, right? I think that giving Horde credit for doing a bunch of damage to us is a perfectly reasonable thing to do. If they want an official, like, gold star that says, Horde, you did a bunch of damage to us, great. That's their war goal. We talked about them in the war update. I'm perfectly happy to talk about that. When it comes to the Brave situation, instead of going like, ha ha ha, you know, your shit's getting pushed in, you know, and it's killing you and making fun of them, I think that the point that we should be making is that it is Test's job as the coalition leader of Legacy Coalition to defend their people and to try to defend Catch. And Test has failed to do that. Test is not even trying to do that. In the moment where suddenly Brave is getting attacked, Test's reaction is to tell them to just colonize our space while we're still here and we're still alive. It's just bullshit. And the Brave line members know it, and now they're seeing it firsthand. And I think that we should ram that down their throats. Not so much the Brave guys, but, you know, point out that Test is not protecting them. They're using them, and that they're getting nothing in return while their shit gets burned down by us. Would we be willing to take in Brave if it ever comes to that, or side with them against Test at some point if it comes to that? I mean, my door is always open. I don't think that would happen, but, you know, Dunk Dinkle can get in touch with me if he feels like it. I don't think that would happen. I think that Brave has to realize for themselves that they have followed the wrong type of leader in the form of Vili and Progod Legend, and that now they are getting confronted with the consequences of that, and how they react to that is up to them. All right. Take one more question. I don't know why this Nexus person keeps asking how I make money in the real world. That's a little weird. I built a wall and made Test pay for it. What support do you have in place to help ratters who are affected by this war? That's a pretty reasonable question. So we have PvE is obviously a lot harder when you're in the middle of something like this. Can somebody please relink? I don't have the forum available immediately, but several weeks ago, we got together and we posted a number of like guides and methods for people to be able to make ISK during a time like this. Could somebody please like dig those up and dump them in Elysium for Fight and Kill to see? Because we did actually write a bunch of different ways to do this and keep things going.
Yeah, those threads should be stickied in Home Ec. So if they're not ping us, we can get those stickied. But there are a variety of things we can do, being Abyssals and Highsec Mining. And C3 wormholes, I think, were another. So there are a bunch of ISK-making options out there if you happen to be broke. Like, there's a lot of stuff we can do, even though CCP has been fucking with us for, like, 6 months straight. There's a lot of stuff on the forums. Thanks, Thanatos.
All right. Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. So one of the things about Firesides is if one person asks a question, unless it's like an obviously like weird one, so a question about like that, I just sort of assume that there's probably 50 to 100 other people that are wondering the same thing and just haven't asked it. So, you know, being able to make ISK to sustain yourself during a period like this is a concern for alliances and it's a concern for individuals. And we're not going to shit on you for saying, hey, how do we do this? And, you know, hopefully we're doing our jobs as alliance leadership by saying, hey, like we're trying to, you know, here are guides and, you know, best possible effort to meet people halfway. Shout out for the Intosis lads. Actually, not bingo bit at all. So Intosising like motherfuckers is going to be one of the most important things that we can do in these coming weeks. We know that it's a very high burnout activity for the enemy to be on defense because we know it's a high burnout activity for us to be on Sov defense. And now that the enemy has hubs and stuff in Delve, we should absolutely be hacking the shit out of them at every opportunity. Joining GSFOE or just figuring out how to be an independent and functional hacker, I would push joining GSFOE. Ban and his crew have been doing great work there. And I think that there's going to be a lot of value, especially as the enemy is pivoting to try to defend, catch, and brave. There are going to be a lot of opportunities in these next couple of weeks to hack the planet, as it were. I am going to go ahead and end the Fireside for now. It's been an interesting one. I again thought that we would be defending 1-2-Q1, but here we are. We must prepare to defend 1-2-Q1. We must prepare to defend Helm's Deep. I need people to fucking push these next 2 weeks. Just because the enemy is faltering does not mean that there is not a shitload of work for us to do. And if we take this for granted, we will lose it. If we do the work, if we put in the time, we have a chance to win the greatest war in the history of online gaming. We're on track to do that. Let's keep it up. Thanks for coming, and see you next week.